Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Amit Mann. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms on YouTube. Like, thumbs up, subscribe there as well. Muchly appreciated. So we continue, said that so many times, we continue our look into all the candidates for the Raptors head coaching job. And now we arrive at probably our last candidate and maybe the favorite. Join me to talk about Sergio Scariolo, Gianluca Bartolomei. Yes, nailed it. I nailed it, Gianluca.
Perfectly.
Around the Game website, you can check him out there. They also have a podcast covering all the latest and greatest in the NBA. Sir, how are you? You are in Italy. I wish I was where you are, to be honest.
Thank you for having me, Amit. Sure. Everything good here. The weather is amazing today. So that's everything. Everything is perfect. I don't have anything to say here. We're very well known for our weather, for our environment around here. So it's everything as usual. Yes. Are you good there in Toronto? It's a little bit colder there.
Well, to be fair, there's also some forest wildfires that are going through Canada and also the United States that stem from Quebec. Mm. So. It's not great. I mean, obviously, okay, I'm fine, but I feel bad for the other people. But to tell you what the weather is like, we're being told not to go outside right now. So, but that's okay. I mean, it'll pass, and I'm gonna leave it there. That's a whole nother can of beans. Okay, so Sergio Scariolo. We've talked about all the other people within the Raptors' scope of who they want to be their head coach, and we believe it's down to three candidates right now. It's Kenny Atkinson. It's Darko Rajkovic, and also Sergio Scariolo. So this man, he was coach with the Raptors from 2018 to 2021. Then he went back to Italy, and he's at the young age of 62 years old. Maybe he's going to embark on becoming an NBA head coach. So when he got back to Italy, what did he talk about as in terms of what he learned from the NBA game in terms of the culture and also the tactics? Like, how did he describe his time in Toronto?
He always talked about it with positive thoughts. And I think one of the most important things that he brought back with him is the defense. He's always been a defensive coach more than an offensive one. But growing up with Nick Nurse, professionally speaking, of course,
sure.
In NBA, I think he learned maybe little tricks, how to... keep off the ball, the superstar. How to create something from the defense more than starting from the offense. And he brought back that, and it showed during his tenure with Bologna. Right now, he won two straight Italian Super Cups right away, and he won the Euro Cup as well. And now he's having his first game of the Italian finals with Milano today. So, and everything in Bologna is built around the defense. You can see, especially the box and one situation, for example.
We're well aware of what a box and one is, yes.
That's right. And I think that is something that he brought with him from his NBA experience. And he showed that with the Spanish national team. So I think it's something that he learned, and he maybe not learned, but perfected there.
No kidding. That's interesting. So I guess from the scope of, you know, where he is within the LBA, with where he is within FIBA and Euro basketball and all of that kind of stuff, what is his name like what is the buzz around Sergio Scariolo? Is he a Greg Popovich, for instance? How well known he is, the respect that he gets from, the admiration he gets from other players, coaches?
In European basketball, he's very well known. His resume speaks for itself, and I don't have to tell you what he's done as a coach, both with Spain and club teams. He won an NBA championship ring as an assistant coach, for sure, but is the only one who did that as an Italian coach, especially. And here he is perceived as one of the top coaches in Europe, for sure. He's very well respected, especially here in LBA. I have a very good friend, Eduardo Pollero, that works for LBA, and I asked him his opinion about him, and he spent for him just good words, and everyone else around the league and everyone else around the EuroLeague did the same. And when I was there in Toronto in November, I talked to some people there and about him, and they shared the same thoughts. So I think Toronto would be happy to have him back if he manages to land the coach position there.
I was looking back at the win he got in the NBA. That was when all the Raptors were in Tampa, and then everyone got COVID, and so he was thrust into a situation. And a lot of the reporters were asking him, you know, is this a new experience? Was it really cool for you? You just won your first NBA game. He's like, yeah, it didn't really feel all that different. I mean, he said it respectfully, but he's like, yeah, I mean, I've coached like thousands of games in my life, so sure, this is an NBA game, and I was sitting here instead of here, but...
It's true, and he is a very humble person. You can see and you can hear that in every interview he does. He's very respectful with the media. He never think about him, but more in terms of the team. Mm. And it's something that I think it shows even when he coaches. He is not a person that screams and shouts and like run around the bench. You can see the composure, and you can see, of course, maybe sometimes he loses his temper, but
it's
the game. It's part of the game. But he is a very humble person. He talks always about cohesion. Something that stood with me is talking with Alessandra Turpiano, in LBA, another LBA representative, in an interview, and he talked about the team, always about the team. She asked him about his strong points, weaknesses, and he didn't speak for himself.
Yeah,
he avoided the question. He said like, "Oh, I don't want for me to be the judge of my stronger points, and I can tell you my weaknesses if you want, but not my stronger points." And it changed the focus on the team. So it's something that stood with me, and he said something very, very strong, I think, because he said cohesion beats talent if talent doesn't have cohesion.
Oh, that speaks volumes in the NBA.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I think that is something that is maybe not missing right now in the NBA, but you can hear it not all the time. You can't hear all the time people speaking like that. So I think he's maybe too humble for for that kind of environment.
It kind of reminds me of the Toronto Raptors, actually, from what we saw this past season, how disjointed they were. They lacked that cohesion that we were used to. And I don't doubt that he'd probably help in that category. There are a few things that he said from an interview that he did with The Crossover. And one point that he said is, I like players challenging me, you know, providing a different view from the court. And I think that's important because it speaks to what you're talking about. There's a humble side to him. It's about the end goal, which is winning, but also we can do this together. And he's okay to take, there are a few other quotes here where he's saying things like, the principles that I have within my offense and defense, and we're going to get to that in a second. Those are the principles, but you can deviate from it if you feel something is the right way to go. Like, these are just the guidelines.
For sure.
It's like, but freedom, creativity is so important in basketball. And also, I mean, again, we're going to get to this in a second, but within his offense and his defensive structure, you have to put some trust in the players to make the right decisions. considering they are on the court. They're the ones playing. They're seeing things from a different perspective. And it's important that a coach, especially in today's NBA, that you're able to recognize that very fact that you got to trust your players a little bit. But at the same time, you are the person who's making the final call. You can hear them, but I make the final call. And I think he has said that too, that if you, and I like the way he said this, that even if a person doesn't believe it the first time I say it, they're going to believe it the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time, because these are the things that I believe in. However, you know, we can be flexible.
No, that's for sure. And when he talks, the players listen. Mm-hmm. And I think, of course, the respect is automatic when you see what he accomplished in his whole career. But mm-hmm. I think it's the person more than a coach, than the coach, that captures the focus of the players.
Yeah,
and I think he is very good with it, because he's able to talk to young players like Nico Mannion, for example. I'm talking of the players he has right now in Bologna. He's able to connect with a very young player like Nico Mannion, or a veteran like Marco Bellinelli or Teodosic. And it's something very, very important. And as you said, it's something that the Raptors need, because they were a cohesive unit until a certain point. And right now, especially last season, they weren't. And I think that says something about the choices that the front office is doing around the coach choice. Because Kenny Atkinson, I think, is pretty similar to Scariolo.
Same in terms with Darko, too. Yeah.
They're trying to recreate that kind of cohesion, that kind of sense of togetherness, the group, the being together to achieve something greater. And I think all the three coaches are great in that. Of course, I have to cheer for Sergio, because it's our coach for sure. But I think that's the goal of the front office, to have a coach that first and foremost recreates that kind of group.
Both of his parents were teachers, and I think that does show in a bit of his coaching methodology and how he approaches it. There is a quote here, and I want to get your thoughts on this too, again, from that crossover interview. He says, "I prefer to use common sense, explain why I'm doing things, and understand and listen. They help me do my job better." And I think as a teacher, right, your job in those moments is also to, you know, you have to provide knowledge, provide awareness, help a person grow, but at the same time, there has to be a willingness to adapt and learn on the fly in whatever way a person is comfortable learning, right? And that's going to be different from, as you said, from a person who's 35 years old versus a person who's 21 years old. How do you think that background has informed his coaching?
I think, he never talked about it in these terms, but I think it shows in those ways. So the ability to talk to everyone individually, like a teacher does with his students. You don't have a group in front of you, but you have, of course you have a group, but you have a group of people, of individuals. So you have to be able to connect with everyone in their own way, even, and in your own way, for sure, because you are the teacher. You are the last voice to be heard. But in the same time, you have to be able to create a connection. And you have to be able to create a connection with a huge range of players, young, veterans, role players, top stars. So you have to be able to talk to them, to listen to them. And I think this is shown by the comments his players, every player that talks about him, do it in a good way. They have always positive thoughts about him. So I think that really says something about him as a teacher.
Mm. And you need that buy-in from everyone, especially with the principles that I like to talk about, because with his system, it is so much about cohesion and connectivity and, you know, making the extra pass and so forth. So if you don't have buy-in, things kind of fall apart. Right?
That's right.
And so he needs that buy-in from everyone. So with that in mind, What are the things that you would say are the principles of his offense and defense, or just from his team? Like when he's going in to a meeting with this team, beginning of the season, what are the things that he's saying? This is what we're going to do this year, and these are the things that are not negotiable.
Yeah, we already talked about cohesion, and that's, of course, the most important part. But in terms of offense, defense, you can see that he always wants to play together, both ends. So he maybe prefers a slow pace transition, a slow pace game. I want to take my time to choose the right play instead of run, and try to score a quick basket. And they always try to look for the extra pass. And as we said before, yeah, for sure, you have to rely also on the genius of your top players.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to recognize the time during the game where an individual play it's needed. But if you look at the individual plays that his top stars do, usually are assists or extra passes. Teodosic is an extraordinary passer. So it reflects the spirit of the team. I want to pass more. I want to involve the teammates more. I want that everyone is in rhythm to create a strong offense. And that results in a lot of open spaces, corner threes, and of course, sometimes like incredible passes, no look or alley-oops from out of nowhere. And that's fine. He's also a traditionalist in some way because he plays a lot of pick and roll 1-5, like the short guy to the big guy. And it's something that maybe it's not that effective in NBA as it is in Europe, but it's something that could be perfect in the NBA, especially with the roster that the Raptors have. With the arrival of Poeltl, they started to play that kind of pick and roll. So it's something that Scariolo could improve or perfect in his own way. And defensively speaking, we already mentioned the box and one that he brought back with his NBA experience. But
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think it's all about the effort. He sets some goals. I read an essay he wrote for the league, and it talks a lot about the effort to make an extra effort, like steal a ball or in order to contest a shot, in order to grab a rebound, in order to feel all the areas, all the spots on the court, to stay really close to your opponent. And it sets that kind of goal. Like, we have to contest the 50% of the shots of the opponents. We have to try to steal at least 5 balls per game. We have to grab at least 10 offensive rebounds and something like that. He sets some goals, and these are common goals, not necessarily individual goals, because in order to achieve that, you have to play together.
Sure.
And that's something that I think it's at the very core of his principle, all around principles. So
Referring back to that Crosser interview, there was a quote from him saying he can't demand the same defensively or offensively from every single player, because that's why some players have certain skills versus others. But he is more keen on making sure that everyone's following the game plan. I'm actually curious how that's going to translate to the NBA if this does go the way I guess you're hoping that it does, where he needs the buy-in from everyone on the court. And with the NBA, and especially the difference between that style of basketball versus European basketball, is that it is a star-driven league, right? And so you're going to be asking someone, a Pascal Siakam, and I'm not saying Pascal wouldn't do this, but you're asking someone who is used to having like a certain amount of usage, and now bring it down a little bit, and you're going to touch the ball less to some degree, or it's not going to be in your hands as much. You might get less possession. It's going to be kind of fluid, but now we need you to screen, cross screens, pin downs. We're going to do this for OG Anunoby. You're going to do this for Scottie Barnes, assuming everyone comes back next season.
Yeah,
And
sure.
it's the buy-in that you mentioned is really important, but when it does work, it's organized chaos is what I call it. When everything's fluid and everything's moving with the within the structure of the offense, it's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, that's true, and that's something he has to, of course, if he comes there, he will have to learn, probably, because it's a very different kind of game here and there. And he talked about it because he says, I never coached in a league where in a players league. So it's something that he will have to learn for sure, but he already had a lot of top stars in the NBA around him. I think about both Gasol's brothers, and he's been there for 3 years, so I think he learned something about it. And of course, it's not easy. It's not easy, especially when you have a lot of players that are used to have a high usage and a lot of ball in their hands, and to control the game, used to control the game. But for the coach he is, and the man he is especially, I think he can break the armor and really, really connect with his players. So it will be tough for sure. I don't want to use the conditional because it will be, it's a certainty. But I think that the Raptors core that is there since, I think, 2016, if I remember correctly, it's used to play together in that sense. They only have to remember how to do it, to and I think he can do that. He already knows those players, so he was there when they won their first championship. So I think it's a strong bond and difficult to forget. So he can do that. I don't want to be so trustworthy just because so trustful because it's my coach, but I think he can do that.
And it comes down to the players themselves. And as you said, I mean, assuming everyone does come back, and we don't know if that's going to happen, but I can't see a Fred or a Pascal, an OG, a Jakob Poeltl, a Scottie Barnes. I can't see these guys having an issue with playing this kind of style of basketball. There's no reason to. I think they have the tools, and if anything, they do just want to win games. They just need the structure and the foundation, and then they're going to be able to take advantage of it. And especially, now with what we're seeing in these playoffs is being versatile with your offense and defense, and being malleable and being able to change things up is pretty important, because once a team, as you go further into a series, game five onwards, game four onwards, whatever, you know each other's place. Like, everybody knows each other. So
That's
being
right.
able to, throw some curveballs here or there with your style, maybe it's a person who doesn't typically screen, right? Maybe now it's OG Anunoby screening for Pascal Siakam. Now there's a down screen, and then you have someone, Fred VanVleet, curling off a pin down or something like that. And then that's something they haven't seen before. And now you can work off of that. And if everyone's in tune with that, and everyone knows that stuff like that could come from your coaching staff, then mean, everyone's locked in too. Everyone's more engaged. And that's probably the biggest thing as we're talking about this is this style of basketball, especially offensively, it keeps everyone involved. And that does provide a better rhythm and that help with shot making.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And I think talking about the current players in the Raptor roster, I think that one of the key players could be OG. He's the kind of player that for Scariolo is everything. He's like an all-around player. He's very good. He's improved his offense a lot. He's a great defender. And I think, and he takes corner threes that are one of the key shots for Scariolo. And I think that his will to be at the service of the team that he has shown, I think, since his first days in NBA would be a key there. And I think all the other players will follow. And especially because I think this season has been a huge disappointment, even for them, I think. I don't want to assume anything, but when you are at least an eighth or seventh seed for sure, not even qualifying for the playoffs is a huge disappointment. Even Ujiri, when he released Nurse, said, I didn't want to watch that kind of game from my players because I knew that was not their kind of game.
Sure.
Their usual game, their usual plays. So I think that all the players will embrace the next coach, Atkinson, Scariolo.
Human nature.
Doesn't matter, but
right?
Yeah. The fact that they want to overcome the past year in terms of disappointment, it's a strong factor in next season attitude, I think. All three coaches, as we mentioned before, are very good in terms of motivating their players. And Scariolo, I think, knowing already the Raptors environment, would be especially fit for that kind of task.
Does he typically run a little bit deeper of a rotation? Maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know.
No, it's. I think it's.
Like 9, 10,
say that, yeah.
10 or so?
Yeah, yeah, no, we can say that. Especially because I think here is a little bit different because having the national championship and the EuroLeague, you basically have two different teams. Because when you try to win the EuroLeague, you focus on that. When you have all the necessary cards to at least go further in the EuroLeague, you try to win that, to focus on that. And you need a very long, long, long bench to do that.
Sure.
You need depth. So you have to be able to connect to the first player on the bench and the last player on the bench. Besides, of course, your starting five. So it's something also that the Raptors needs because last year I remember that Siakam was first in usage and
Barnes they've been first and second in minutes for years.
Anunobi and Barnes were around the top 20. So when you have options on your bench and you tend not to use them, it's difficult to get them in rhythm when it counts the most.
Yeah.
And you can't think to play 82 games with the same five players all the time for 48 minutes or, of course, around it.
I got you.
And I think that Scariolo could improve that kind of thoughts and in that way help the youngster improve. I think that especially Malachi Flynn, last year had some games where he showed what he could do.
Yeah.
And it's important to have a player like that when you run for the playoffs and even more. And that's something that is missing right now. But I think that the new coach can learn from the mistakes made from in the past. So him being one of the, I think, finest basketball minds we have here in Europe can really, really do something in that case, and especially for young players, and help them improve.
That's a quote right there. Finest basketball minds. That's beautiful. If things go, you know, the way that we're thinking, the Raptors, we know this past season, their bench wasn't heavily used, and it became a talking point, especially as Nick Nurse was fired, and then the quotes come out, Masai Ujiri not happy with how the bench was used, how players have been developing. And again, this style of basketball, sharing the basketball, it's more about, you know, do you understand the system? And then everyone can, quote unquote, eat out of it, right? As long as you're following the guidelines of the offense, and especially also the defense. It's about knowing the game plan and executing it. And if everyone is doing that, then you should be able to get minutes, right? And if you're not, then probably Sergio is going to tell you that you probably can't play. But there's probably going to be more opportunity within this kind of style of game for everyone to get a few more minutes. And I would imagine probably in the meetings that Masai, Bobby, and Sergio have had, shooting has been addressed, and I hope, I'm sure Nick Nurse would have said this too last season, that, you know, if I had more shooting, things would have gone better. I would imagine that's probably going to be on the Raptors to-do list during the offseason. Maybe it gets addressed at the draft. I'm not saying that person would, you know, be able to be a rotation player. We don't put that expectations on a person, but they could go with a movement shooter instead of somebody else, just because of, you know, the need and how much easier it is to draft shooting as opposed to acquire shooting.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, of course, a coach can't do all by himself. He needs the help from the front office. But I think that also Masai Ujiri would be willing to do that. I didn't have the impression that he wanted to be a mediocre team. There are teams that are you know, when the season starts, that okay, that team is not gonna do something more than 20 wins on 82 games. And you already know that. But in his case, I think that even if he plays with like 10 rookies, he still wants to win the championship. It's the kind of mentality that a coach needs. Because when I tell you, okay, I need those players in order to achieve what you want. Okay, then I'm going to draft them or try to trade them or sign them from the free agency. So I think that they have a strong plan in mind. But then it's up to them to make it work. But
yeah,
I think both the front office and the next coach will not accept anything less than the playoffs for sure.
I have thought about this too.
For sure, maybe not, but at least it's my opinion on the mindset I saw there being in Toronto.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've thought about this a bit, that, you know, depending on the coach that they get, does it inform their goals for next season or their approach? Because we're going to find out, I think, about the coach before we find out about free agency. Who's coming back, who's not, trades and so forth. So if you bring in a Sergio, does that mean you're running it back, so to speak? Or if you bring in a Kenny Atkinson, does that mean that we're going into development mode? I don't know, but it seems strange to bring in Sergio if you weren't going to be bringing back, or at least trying again with this core or close to it.
Yeah, for sure. It sets some goals to choose one coach instead of another. But I can't see the Raptors doing that with the mindset, okay, we're going to rebuild, for example.
Yeah.
Because even Kenny Atkinson, when he had the Brooklyn Nets, the very young core of Brooklyn Nets, he started to be like, okay, we are going to start the season as a development team. And they made it to the playoffs with a couple of guys that went far as an all-stars.
Yeah.
As all-stars.
Yeah, winning is the expectation regardless. Winning is,
yeah,
like the playoffs are probably going to be the goal. Yeah,
I think, yeah, but of course it can go south very quickly. But I don't think it's up to the choice of the coach particularly.
Final question. So typically, you know, when a head coach comes through, they bring some assistance with them or they have recommendations. And I would imagine that Sergio would probably bring some European coaches with him.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I would think, maybe, maybe not. But who are some names that come to mind for you that maybe Sergio has a good relationship with or people that he thinks could help him be successful in the NBA?
There were some rumors that I heard, and they were very interesting, about Sarunas Jasikevičius. They were just rumors. There's nothing said or written or it. And it's interesting because I heard that the Raptors were interviewing him as well. And he is also one of the best coaches in EuroLeague. And they were talking about putting them together as a head coach and assistant coach. And for us, it's like a dream team on the bench. And especially considering that Scariolo, I think maybe 4 years ago, he was still there in Toronto when he said, I sincerely recommend to hire European coaches there in the NBA. But it's really difficult to have an head coach coming from Europe and starting right away as an NBA head coach. And having both of them in that kind of situation would be a dream, a real dream. And I think it can really open the doors for European coaches to make the jump. And even just Scariolo, if he brings someone from his coaching staff here in Bologna, he could be a bridge from European basketball to NBA basketball. And that's something really important because we see every day players that go both ways. So from NBA to Europe or from Europe to NBA, but you don't see often coaches coming from Europe going there and have a team on their hands. So, but just to answer your question, I'm not sure if there are names he wants to bring with him, but if the rumor has a 1% chance to be true, that could be very interesting for Toronto next year.
Well, this has been great, man. This has been really fun. So Around the Game website, podcast, you can find Gianluca's work there. We shall see what happens with Sergio and the Toronto Raptors. It should be a fun few days. I felt like we might find out today because the Raptors tend to release news on Fridays. It's just my feeling. Friday our time, obviously you're wrapping up your Friday, but we'll see. Maybe it does come later on today and this is the most well-timed podcast ever. Maybe. Otherwise,
hopefully
we'll probably wait till next week.
Yeah, hopefully.
Fingers crossed. Thanks, man, much appreciated.
Thank you very much for having me.